Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Good evening. This is Carlotta. Sorry about that. I'm not quite sure what happened there. But we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're in control of all things. We thank you for every person that has joined with us tonight that is praying for this program. We need it always, don't we? We're just so dependent on Christ in us, on God in every way. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who will work in our hearts, who will give us the revelation and illumination of your word that we need. We thank you, Lord, for the healing that you'll bring tonight, for the deliverance even, where demonic spirits are involved and have been lying to us. We thank you for the truth of your word, for the truth about who we are, and that we will be able to receive your truth in new ways, that you will expand our hearts and that we can receive your perfect love that casts out all fear. We just thank you, Lord, that we're going to be able to believe what the Bible says in new ways. And while we're not going to analyze and be introspective, we do believe that you'll give us true discernment to be able to discern ourselves more accurately. We just want to be able to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you that you're faithful to work that in our lives and to renew our minds, to restore our souls. Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you for joining us. And tonight we're going to be talking about one of the main things that keeps people from believing that they can hear the voice of God, the rhema, R-H-E-M-A, or the spoken word is controversial to some people, but actually all of the written Bible used to be spoken word. God spoke it to somebody who wrote it down. So if you stop and think about it objectively, you do believe in the spoken word of God. And we want to just ask the Lord tonight to show us where a stronghold has kept us from hearing God or from believing that we can hear the spoken word of God, or maybe just not as clearly as someone else. And I want to ask you, first of all, a question. I don't want you to get super spiritual on me, okay? Just give me a regular answer. And what is it that you would like to have in you, possessions and bank accounts and things like that, but what is it that you would like to have in you, your identity or who you are or attributes or callings or gifts, that you don't have yet? So what is it? If you could just have any things that you don't feel like you have yet, what would they be? I'd like you to write those down. If you have pencil and paper tonight, you'll really be wise. I'm going to cover a lot of things tonight, but probably only half the subject, because as I was preparing, I thought, you know, it always takes me like an hour and a half to 2 hours to teach this. Why do I think I can do it in short time on radio? So tonight we're going to begin to look at the subject of rejection or perceived rejection or the spirit of rejection, real rejection, or the cycles of rejection you can have where it gets to a place where you're imagining it and then you realize, oh, I wasn't really rejected that time. But I want to ask you, those things that you just wrote down that you would like to have in your identity or to be part of who you are, how do you believe that you get them? If they're gifts, how do you get them? If they're attributes, say, like wisdom, because the Bible says, you know, wisdom is one of the most important things, how do you get it? Where is it right now if it's not in you? Has God given it to you already? Or is there a little part of you that believes you've asked for it, but he hasn't given it to you yet? Or maybe there's some fruit that you'd like to have, or a calling, or to be more equipped somehow, to be chosen. Or the big one that we'll be dealing with tonight, to be more accepted in the area that you feel called to go or would like to go. Maybe you weren't chosen. Maybe you've been faithful for a long time. You just got this real, genuine need to be accepted in the body of Christ. Or maybe you're not even sure that God accepts you that much because you've changed location several times already. It's the same. There may be some scriptures that are hard for you to believe that are in the Bible. You're well aware of them, but they don't seem real. And tonight we're going to be talking about some indicators, and I'd like you to make a list and write these things down so that you can pray for yourself, you can get your prayer partner to pray with you, to break the power of these things and to accept God's truth, and so that when other people are talking, or if you're actually taking a history, you'll be more alert to discern indicators that a person has not really accepted their acceptance in Christ. Maybe they don't know that much about it, but at any rate have not accepted their acceptance. Because the Bible says that we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, but you may feel as poor as they come. You may not really feel like you're experiencing that you're an heir and co-heir. That's in Romans 8:17. The Bible says we have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in us, but you may feel pretty empty and that you're not full of all those attributes at all. In Colossians 2:9, it said that Jesus dwells in all the fullness, for in him, in Jesus, dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you may be able to acknowledge, well, he had it, and I have him, but somehow I don't have the fullness of the Godhead and all his attributes in me. That's not real. And then the Bible says in James 1:8, not to be double-minded, and yet our spirit would say, yep, that's God's truth. And our soul says, I don't feel it. It's not real. So stress is a conflict between our soul and spirit. And you may be experiencing that stress of the Bible saying you're accepted in the Beloved, and yet it doesn't seem to work out. You can change locations and you don't feel accepted. Because the devil's plan, as I've told you before, is to cause us to feel separated from others, from God, and even from ourselves. And that's a lot about what rejection is a lot of times. We're feeling that we're not acceptable, and there's something we need to do to get those things that we're missing. And while the Bible says, you know, desire earnestly the best gifts and to get wisdom, it also says that we're already complete in Christ and that we have everything for life and godliness. And if you're having trouble feeling accepted in the first place, it's kind of hard to sort out. And when you hear people ask for prayer, you'll hear them say some of the things I'm going to cover tonight. And then next week we'll be talking more about other things to watch out for, because if you accidentally or on purpose agree with this spirit of rejection that's whispering in your ear or maybe through people, then you become more vulnerable for his plans and where he wants to take you, and we don't want that. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God in Hebrews 11:6. And so when we're in that place of unbelief, whether it's just in some specific areas of your life or a lot of them, then you can start searching for answers. and maybe answers that the Bible says you already have, but round and round it goes with the spirit of rejection. See, do we believe that God has rejected us ultimately because all the things he prophesied to us haven't been coming true? Or people aren't choosing us? Or do we believe that somehow shame has stolen from us? Isaiah 61, 6 or 7 talks about trading in our shame for the double portion. So there is an indicator there that shame has something to do with it. On one hand, we're called to be priests and kings, and on the other hand, you may not feel like you're even accepted. So what about all these feelings? The Bible says in Hebrews 4, 6 that sometimes we can't enter in because of unbelief, and yet we don't want to be there. We want to believe that God has given all things to us liberally. So what's blocking it? If you genuinely believe things are blocking you, I really encourage you to look on our website at crosswalklife.com and click under the picture of my husband, Lewis, and I, and click RPM, that's for Restoration Prayer Ministry, and make appointments. You know, fill out the application, make appointments, and let's find out what's blocking you. I'm believing this is real. I'm not just going to tell you it's your imagination. There may be little things that you have going through your mind that you don't really want, but they're there, like concerned about not being recognized for your talents or gifts or abilities or what you do to contribute or how you serve. You might want to be a known rather than one of the unknown. And while you like to serve, you might be tired of being viewed as the servant. Or maybe want to be vindicated for being falsely accused. We need to loose ourselves from trying to be vindicated to prove our worth, to regain our significance with people. Loose ourselves, not be bound to it. To be loosing ourselves from wanting a place or a position in Christ more than what God's given us. And to learn to enjoy being where we are in our journey. And to let the peace of God that's in Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I tell you, when somebody rejects you, it's hard. I'm not doubting it. We get anxious. We wonder if we'll ever get that promotion we're due, or our gifting will ever be recognized, or a calling will ever come about, because we're in a place of experiencing true rejection right now. And then I can say, sounds easy for me to say, you don't have to receive it. When somebody throws you a ball of rejection, don't catch it. But there is some truth to that. I can believe that it's not God's timing, or he would have motivated them to choose me. Or I can believe that God's not in control, they're in control, and when they didn't choose me, now my life is over. Or I can believe lies about God. I can believe that God is late, has caused me to miss my open door, has not been totally faithful to me, has shortchanged me, or maybe created me with weaknesses that have caused me to lose opportunities. And I can get bitter over that. I can believe a false identity of the lies that the enemy is trying to tell me, that you're less than, you're not good enough, even though God commanded it or prophesied to you that you will be so-and-so. He shortchanged you and you're just not measuring up. And then we think, oh, we don't want to blame God, you know. It's got to be because I had some sinful reaction or sinful behavior or something, and I'll correct that and then everything will be okay. And sometimes there is something to that. We certainly can block ourselves by having unconfessed sin in our lives. But is our identity based on agreeing with God or agreeing with the enemy? See, and these, please pray for my throat tonight. I've got this tickle in my throat. You know how it is. I haven't had it all day long. It's trying to get me right now, so thank you for your prayers. The enemy wants us to base our identity on what people say. Our whole significance, he wants us to base it on people's opinions and people's descriptions of us. That's why I put a picture today of my little version of the cartoon of Maxine, and that's me saying, you know, Jesus said it's important that you know who he is, and but who do you say you are? Who do people say you are, and how much does that affect you? Do you see yourself as a heir, a child of God, a servant, like in Galatians 4:1? Are you all three? Do you see yourself in terms of your clothes, toys, success, appearance, strengths? Are you trying to elevate your serotonin levels with medications or by owning things and looking good and competing? Or do you believe 2 Corinthians 1:21 that you're established by God? You're established and anointed together with us by him. Are you so secure that you are exactly what God wants you to be in the sense that he created your identity and your personality and your appearance and your strengths and weaknesses, that even if he lets you look like a failure sometimes, maybe people don't receive your message right away or appreciate your contributions right away or understand you. And sometimes you look like a failure when you're really not. You know, I experienced that a lot, and I'm sure you have too. If you have expertise in an area that other people don't have, they can think you're nuts because they can't relate to it at all. But that doesn't really mean you're a failure. That just means they don't know anything about your field, haven't come across it, or haven't received the education or the revelation. So we can define ourselves by a lot of things that people say, or here's another one. We can define ourselves by our own behavior and reject ourselves because of that, because we decide that our behavior is not up to par. And maybe we do need to confess some things, but that's no reason to take in, to agree with a spirit of rejection and make matters worse, because now we have a rejection stronghold on top of our other problems. Need to put on the armor of God like in Ephesians 6:11. And not even judge ourselves after the flesh, amen? We need to receive God's way of escape when we're tempted even to reject ourselves and not receive it. I'm moving really quickly through my strongholds course. It's called Tearing Down Personal Strongholds. It's by far the number one product that we have. I suggest that everyone on the planet buy it, because it describes 8 or 10 of the most common strongholds. I promise you, even though this is the quickie summary tonight, if you get the strongholds course, that I will expose, the Holy Spirit will expose these strongholds, and you will not be blinded by them anymore. You can find that on crosswalklife.com in DVD or in a download version. But what has happened to you? What did the devil do to try to bring a stronghold of rejection cycles into your life? Whether it's real or imagined, he wants you in agreement with the spirit of rejection. So let's ask the Holy Spirit right now, what 3 to 3 traumatic events do you wish never happened? What events happened that contributed to you feeling rejected by others, by God, or rejecting yourself? Did something make you feel less than, not up to standard, not good enough? And maybe you fight it the best you can and you never voice negative things out loud. But if it came to your mind just now, probably the Holy Spirit is trying to show you where the spirit of rejection came in or wanted to come in. Sometimes it's the things that come out of our own mouths. You know, you can quote Isaiah 54:17 about no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you'll refute every tongue that accuses you. Sometimes it's your own tongue. And while you're claiming no weapon formed against you, there's these other little voices in your own mind that are saying, going to be the one that's left out or unappreciated or unnoticed, misunderstood, and criticized. And so we have to say, God, help me I'd like to place the cross of Jesus Christ right now between me and even what my own tongue says, so that I won't miss this message tonight. I'll be able to discern what's me, what's flesh that needs to be taken to the cross and crucified, and what is the spirit of rejection trying to perpetuate cycles, whether they're based on truth or imaginations, it wants to torment me. See, the Bible says on Psalm 139, verse 14, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. What the enemy comes along when we're itty-bitty, he says, well, God shortchanged you. He didn't give you the brains that he gave somebody else, or the looks, or the body, or the talent. Put you in the wrong family, kid. You're on the wrong side of the tracks. You're the wrong race. You're the wrong culture. And he is tempting you to feel like God rejected me from the beginning. He gave me disadvantages. He gave me weaknesses that I cannot overcome. And he wants you to go into rebellion and to start out even from toddler ages in disagreement with God. But he's also headed toward, let's see if we can get you to reject you. Because if you can reject you, it will interfere with your ability to perceive correctly. It will interfere with your ability to perceive what God says, whether the written word or the spoken word, and you'll feel like everybody hears God better than me. And while you're there rejecting yourself, what's wrong with me? Something must be wrong with me because I don't hear God like other people. He's winning. But he also wants you to imagine that other people are thinking, well, so-and-so, you know, they'll never get on track. They just don't tune into the Holy Spirit like everybody else. So whether you believe that these voices that you hear are your own flesh talking, or demonic spirits, or both, take the flesh to the cross and ask Jesus to bring it to death. All structures that would disagree with the verses we've just talked about, and these are just some of them in the Strongholds course. Or whether it's a demonic spirit, you can tell it to shut up and cast it out and tell it to never come back, but you've got to break agreement with it. So that's why I put in 5 or 6 pages of verses with every stronghold, because you get free by swinging the sword of the Spirit. And while it may have deceived you in the past and blocked your vision and you weren't able to see that this stronghold was there, or weren't sure what to call it, or weren't sure about its pieces of armor, I got that from Pastor Henry. Strongholds have pieces of armor like Leviathan or fish has scales that protect them and block out the light. And so when we begin to discern the pieces of armor and to take those scales off, then the light can come in. See, and the wonderful thing about not having a spirit of rejection is then you're free to not only accept your acceptance from God, from others, and from yourself, but you're free to be whatever God wants you to be. I'll use a possibly non-Christian example here, but like Gandhi was very instrumental in transforming one nation from a position of more strength and power. I believe he was an attorney, don't quote me. But when he went to India, he decided he would wear the dress of the poor man, the common man there, and went about in white and walked and transformed a nation pretty much from the poor man's stance. And there's some beauty in that that I have to admire, even though our theology may be quite different. I'm not sure. People say different things about what Gandhi believed, but I'm trying to just make a general point. See, if I really accept my acceptance in Christ, then if he wants me to be a poor woman among poor people, and I can reach the most kind of like a Mother Teresa or something, then I can do that because I'm not busy earning my acceptance, trying to earn it, trying to prove I'm okay, trying to prove I'm acceptable. I'm free to pray something like John Wesley's prayer. This is not an easy prayer, so brace yourself. I'm going to pray this prayer at 25 minutes after, so you can, I'll tell you the time so you can find it again. I am no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your disposal. And now, glorious and blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I'm yours. So be it. And let the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. The reason I read that is because once you accept your acceptance in Christ and you know that you have everything you need for life and godliness, and you know you're complete in him, and you know that he's not rejecting you, that if he doesn't make you rich and famous, popular, and give you all the possessions and plaudits that other people have, you'll know that you're totally accepted anyway, and you'll be able to pray a prayer like this that says, I don't have to be famous or rich or noticed or known. I submit myself to your disposal to be whatever you want me to be. But see, the spirit of rejection wants to ruin all that. It wants to speak lies to you about your identity. It's all the time telling you lies about who you are. And wants you to feel unloved. Even if you change locations, it won't help. You know, even if you marry somebody else, even if you get a different employer, you won't be loved and appreciated. See, whether you're imagining this, that people are thinking this, or whether you're told out loud, is pretty much painful either way, right? Whether you're actually unloved and really rejected is sometimes hard to tell, because people deny it many times. But if you have this certain feeling of being unhappy and discontent and dissatisfied because you feel less than, there's a good chance the spirit of rejection has been talking to you, saying you'll never be happy and content, you'll never be satisfied. And a lot of times it's because, according to the spirit of rejection, that God hasn't given you what he's given other people, because he doesn't really accept you the same way. You know, he's let other people have good employment or a happy marriage or a great IQ and education, or he's let other people have certain blessings that he isn't giving you. And it's because you deserve to be rejected, frankly. That's what the liar will say. And he'll do his best to bring along unloving people that are not nurturing, or to tell you that's all you've ever had because you weren't wanted in the first place, or you were the wrong sex, so you'll never be accepted because you were wrong from the beginning, or you've been rejected ever since you were conceived because your parents weren't married. And I hate this when they call the baby illegitimate. The baby hasn't done anything wrong. It's sinful parents. But the baby, you know, the spirit of rejection will say, well, you were rejected from the moment of conception. You weren't really wanted. Nobody meant for you to be conceived. And you can grow up feeling illegitimate, unaccepted, and rejected from that moment. Or you can feel resentment about them resenting you that you're coming along because you are not affordable or were inconvenient or at the wrong time. Now, today there's so many abortions that maybe not as many people feel this, but a whole lot of people that you will pray for will describe current conflicts, and they'll describe how the church has rejected them or their pastors or their employers or their spouses or whoever. But it goes back in some cases. If you ask about how their parents met, you know, I wouldn't just dive in and say, were you wanted? Although you might. Sometimes you can just say, well, let's start at the beginning. We've got a little while here. You know, how did your parents meet? And you might find out in the course of that that they were forced to marry or their marriage was rushed because of you. And you might find out that they had marital problems for lack of funds because they were pregnant or unemployment or illness or any number of reasons. Or maybe their parents didn't approve of their marriage. And therefore, you may find out that the person that you're praying for didn't get prayers that they needed, the support that they needed, the acceptance that they needed, even from the grandparents. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm just saying we need to come against demonic spirits of rejection that are so, so common. Rather than just talking. And listen, it's good to listen to people, and I do. But a lot of times, as ministers, we listen to people and we don't hear what they're saying. They're saying they were rejected from day one, and we need to hear it and help them come against that spirit and say, well, today's the end of that. We're coming against the spirit now. Or maybe it's not as big as all that. It's that you were the middle child and you felt some rejection, began to agree with a spirit of rejection because you said, well, I'm never the first, the oldest, never have the most privileges, neither am I the baby. Sometimes there wasn't really anything wrong with you, and you weren't maybe truly being rejected at all, but your parents were living in some kind of guilt or frustration about their own lives, and you took that on. Because you know how little children do? When their parents don't get along, what do? They so often blame themselves and say, well, if I could just be a better child, more acceptable, they would accept each other. Because a lot of babies, then and now, are born to emotionally immature adults or parents. And it's not that the baby had anything wrong with them at all. If the parents were immature for the job, or a lot of the people that I work with, most of them are ministers, but a lot of them were exposed to evil people as children, did evil things, or maybe their parents were evil in the sense of, well, I hate to say they were evil because that's like their identity, but they were in agreement with witchcraft or Satanism and or sex trafficking or abuse or something, and the rejection that the baby, toddler, the child felt very, very real. In fact, some people have only known a life of having strongholds and lies surrounding them, and they're actually kind of nervous about deliverance when you offer it because they've never been free. A lot of us have never been free, but until we get deliverance, but they are actually afraid of deliverance because they don't know who they'll be. Who are you if you're not full of strongholds? Because I was raised in a family that all we had and did was strongholds. And they're afraid of being vulnerable to Christ. If I give my life totally to Christ with this surrender you're talking about, being totally submitted to Him, you know, they've been vulnerable to evil people all their lives, and so vulnerable just sounds bad, whether it's to evil people or to God. Vulnerable is just bad to them. So even the way you're presenting this wonderful opportunity to be free, to be totally in agreement to God and submitted to Him might scare the bejeebies out of them, whatever that is. Or maybe you had problems of your own in relationships, you know, with authorities, in marriage, and that's why you feel rejected. Maybe you really were, or a little of both. But there's a lot of spirits that like to work together with the spirit of rejection. So it's just so, so, so common. Almost everybody has to deal with the spirit of rejection sooner or later. I mean, that's its job, like to try to make you feel rejected. And it wants you to feel responsible not only for things that go wrong in your relationships, but for everybody's, other people's choices, other people's feelings. It wants you to feel like the victim all the time. Or, here's another thing, it may make you, now listen to this, want to be the minister all the time to victims, because that's how you feel good about yourself if you're always the giver instead of the receiver. You know how some people, if you ask them if they need prayer, 100% of the time they'll say no? Maybe their identity too much based on being the giver, and they can't ever be the receiver. And the spirit of rejection will also try to motivate people to live as the victim all their lives, always going to be on the bottom of the pile, always losing out, unnoticed, unloved, unaccepted. But it's also going to want to try to get you to sympathize with that rather than empathize. And what I mean by that is it wants you to agree with spirit that says, well, I guess God did shortchange you. Your DNA isn't all that good, is it? You know? Or God is shortchanging you. He called you to something 20 years ago, and he's not letting you do it. He's not motivating people to choose you. You're always being left out. I see that. Well, there's a way to empathize with people and how they feel the pain and yet come against the demonic spirit of rejection that's lying to them and trying to make them feel like they are not accepted or they never will be. Because what it wants to do is to get them to comparing themselves with other people and always conclude that they're less than or never going to amount to much or will never be able to fulfill their goals. And it wants them to go into self-pity. Self-pity is hard to deal with. It's worse than rejection in a way. Because if a person's determined to feel unappreciated and misunderstood, if you come along and say, well, that's just self-pity. You don't have to feel that way. You can, you know, you can believe God's word. They'll get mad at you because you don't understand. So be careful. Make sure when you're hearing God, you're working with someone that's in rejection and self-pity, that you hear how to express God's heart, because God is concerned about their pain. Jesus came and died on the cross to take it. On the other hand, we want to cast out self-pity and rejection, but be careful about saying it's all in your imagination or you enjoy being the victim or anything like that, because it's not really that enjoyable, is it? And though they're not trying to imagine it, this demon has been talking to them and telling them it night and day, maybe all their life. How do I know? Because I was there. I'm going to share just a little bit more, but we're not going to try to finish all this tonight. It's just a lot. I want to talk about some of the ways that rejection works in your life, how it wants to work, but we're not going to get to the total, like, fruit of agreeing with the spirit of rejection until next time, because it's just a lot, and I've decided not to rush through it. I'm already rushing through it enough. You'd have to get the Strongholds course to get all of it, but see, the rejection wants to work at least in your life by causing a fear of rejection. So fear and rejection get together, and it makes you afraid to even try. You might forfeit opportunities or sabotage your own opportunity or underachieve because you're afraid that for some reason, after you try hard, you'll be rejected. Or it wants you to reject yourself. And so reject yourself that you open the door for even more things. You might be driven to be someone or to do things you wouldn't normally do in order to earn acceptance, or feel like you could never get enough love. You know, have you seen people that no matter how much you love on them, they say you don't love them? Or they're always demanding it. Maybe they come up and say, hug me. And you think, well, I wanted to till you demanded it. Some people just sense rejection everywhere. You can talk to several children from the same family that are fairly close in age and ask them to describe the parents, and it might be totally different because they perceive things differently. We all do. I was aware of a big body of board of directors for a famous ministry, and they were asked to describe, I think all or most of them were married, but they were asked to describe how they met. None of their stories matched up because our perceptions are so different. But what the spirit of rejection wants to do is to warp your personality somehow, to split you off from yourself, so that parts of you like you and parts of you don't like you. Because on some days you might really take up for yourself and say, that's not true. My heart is this. You know, in other days you might be cutting yourself down. It wants, the spirit of rejection wants you to get into self-accusation. Then its job is really done because you're doing it for them. If you get into self-accusation, say, well, you're never doing enough, try harder. You know, you've got to be perfect, meet the standard, work, 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 be a workaholic. That's what I did, work too much. In some ways I didn't have a choice being a single parent all those years, but it wants you to accuse yourself because that's what the accuser of the brethren wants. So it lies to you and wants you to say it to yourself that you're not good enough. And this is a root of autoimmune illnesses. I had chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. My feet hurt 24 hours a day, and I want you to know that stuff is real. Because what the enemy really wants is to destroy and kill you, right? Not just rob from you. So it wants you to go into self-hatred. And hopefully a depression. The spirit of rejection wants you to feel heavy and that no one cares. And if they do care now, then they're going to change their mind and reject you. At any rate, it's going to project a whole future of negatives. If you make it to the top and you're accepted now, you won't be next year. And then it wants you to go into self-pity, where you're just focused on yourself. You believe the negative things in the past are just going to define your future, and round it's going to go again. It'll keep reminding you of defeats in the past and say, no matter how successful you are now, because you're flawed, you're defective, you're evil, you're shameful, you weren't wanted or whatever, that you're going to wind up going to work together with other religious spirits too, because religious spirits want you to compete, want you to compare yourselves with others. And just, you know, they won't even have to compare. They won't even have to criticize because you're doing it. It wants you to think, well, I've got to be more spiritual like them, or I've got to be less emotional, or I've got to manifest in this way, or I've got to have these gifts, or I've got to have this employment, or give this big offerings, or whatever it's saying. It wants you to compare yourself with others and get you real insecure. Because it wants your security or your significance to be based on lies or based on other people's opinions or other people's preferences, or that you just have to be working to earn acceptance all the time. I have a favorite example of this. It was by Ron somebody about 30 years ago, and I think it might have been Ron Dunn, but I'm not sure. And the example is a little water faucet that was all upset and depressed because it wasn't turned on to run all the time. And it was just all upset, feeling insignificant, that it was not adequate, not acceptable because it wasn't running all the time. And so, you know, in trying to explain to the little water frost that we don't want you to run all the time, we just want you to be available so when we turn you on and we need water, we'll have it. But it had based its significance on a lie that I have to be working all the time to be significant. And I thought, oh, I can relate to that a little bit. That's why today I'll tell you that I've always quit work, unless we have a special meeting going, by 7 p.m. at night. Because of my tendency, you know, was to work, somehow proving something or earning something, I'm not sure exactly, but working too much. But see, if we really know who we are in Christ and that we're accepted already, like I say, we're free to serve, but not because we're trying to earn something for ourselves. Our motive is to do it unto the Lord, or better yet, the better way to say it is to let Jesus Christ serve through us. We're already complete. We're already confident in Him. But if you feel rejected, you might slip into having a hireling mentality, like a person hired, you know, that expects compensation by the hour or a salary, or at least to be noticed or appreciated or awarded. You can get that hireling mentality instead of being willing to be a servant, unnoticed, unappreciated, undecorated, no title, no position, just serving. Because there can be that, like, empty cup feeling if you have a spirit of rejection, because it's like you can never get enough attention or thanks, even though you don't want to admit that you want more. There's part of you that feels empty without it. And then some people just go for lust. They say, forget it. I'm going to be satisfied with immediate gratification. The counterfeit is fine. I'll just go for the counterfeit for love or acceptance, or I'll force people to appreciate me. I'll hire them to, you know. The spirit of rejection wants you to rebel against God somehow, believing that you've got to get your needs for acceptance met outside of God. You go to a different religion. You go to works. People that don't believe like you do. You get into relationships that are nowhere near as good as what God wanted for you, because you're trying to avoid pain, trying to fill that empty God spot inside. Or maybe just settle for people that will flatter you, give you false praise. Or another way the spirit of rejection works, because it tries both ways, you know, even if people do give you sincere praise and do accept you, that maybe you can't believe it. Maybe you can't receive it. It wants you to be bitter against people for not accepting you, or it wants you to be totally dependent on them to try to earn their acceptance. But at any rate, it wants you to eventually hate yourself, to reject yourself, even do violence to yourself, not just sabotage and not just being afraid to walk through your open doors. Maybe, I mean, some people commit suicide because of rejection or perceived rejection. It doesn't matter how rich or successful you are if the spirit of rejection really gets its way with you. Or they may seek more power and go to the occult, supernatural powers. And then some people get so into the bitterness and the resentment and the unforgiveness of those that rejected them that they get into payback and retaliation, insisting on keeping the score and a record of wrongs. There's a lot of folks out there, and some listening, that have serious bitterness and unforgiveness in their lives. I mean, we're not talking a week or a month or a year. We're talking years of wanting this wrong righted, wanted that person to be punished or to get what they're due for how they rejected you. See, and now you're just their prisoner. You're a prisoner of the spirit of rejection. Because it's led you to places of unbelief and doubt and sin. And you're looking for that person to, in a way, heal you by paying you back for what they did to you, at least recognizing what they did to you. So now you may be a prisoner, in a way, to a spirit of rejection because you're either aggressive toward them, wishing the worst for them, hiding, or withdrawing from life because of them, or maybe exploding in anger, or looking for your needs to be met outside of God because God never did settle the score. At any rate, the spirit of rejection wants you to look to people as your source to make you feel good, base your significance on what people say. It wants you to need things that you feel like you don't have. It doesn't want you to know you're complete in Christ, lacking nothing. It wants you to feel like there are things that God has not given you and no telling what you have to do to earn it or make him give it to you. And that you need these things in order to feel acceptable. It wants you to focus on that instead of the fact that God loves you unconditionally and accepts you unconditionally, completely apart from your performance. There's nothing you can do to earn more love and acceptance from God because his love and acceptance is already perfect. And even if you could be perfect, you can't earn more because his is already perfect. It's a gift. Jesus Christ came to take our pain and rejection, perceived or imagined or both, and to give us his love and acceptance in its place. So that we would never be dependent on what people think and what people say and trying to earn approval or anything like that. He wants us to know we already have everything we need for life and godliness, that we're complete in Christ, that he is our equipment, if you will, because we have Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily inside of us, as we choose to be one with him and expressors of him to let him live the life through us. He is perfect at it. He is all-powerful. He can be everywhere at once. He knows everything. And we have everything we need. Our problem is that we don't accept our acceptance. We don't accept all that Christ is in us. And it's a lifelong journey. But I'm hoping that tonight has somehow helped you to see where the enemy is lying to you, trying to tell you that you don't have what it takes. And then next time, I'd like to talk about the fruit of this spirit, the fruit that it wants to bear in your life, because we actually didn't even cover that yet, and the pitfall that he sets up for you to step in, and when he's setting up, lets you and him fight, something like that, or let's imagine that we can mind read, and we know that they're thinking rejecting thoughts. I just want to share that next week. So if you invited a friend to hear this tonight, please invite them to hear that too. This is one of the biggest strongholds for me, or it was, because when I studied these strongholds and wrote this course that I've taught in Bible college for credit and at churches, and I gathered about 60 pages of scriptures together, it was when I was praying through all the scriptures over and over for 3 months. I just prayed a few pages of them every day. It was when I got to the rejection one, probably for the third time, that all of a sudden I was healed of 24 diagnoses. Not all that day, but by that day. And I only had a couple more things to go, and actually I'm believing for the bone things now, so I appreciate your prayers on that. Any insights, words of knowledge would be appreciated. Constructive ones. And I just want to pray for you tonight, that you'll just pray, Lord, help me to accept my acceptance in you. And as you listen to this broadcast, if you'll write down the lies, it doesn't matter whether it's one, two, or a lot. Anybody that's been convicted of a crime, no, it only takes one conviction to get you in prison. the devil can thoroughly convince you of one lie, you can be in prison. So I just want to encourage you, share this with others. Know that whether they understand that they need it or not, they'll benefit. And it will help us, if nothing else, to ward off the lies of the enemy in the future. And they'll also be able to pray for others better. Amen. Amen. So, glad to have some of our dear friends back in the chat room. Glad you joined us tonight. This is an excellent time to call somebody and them and ask them to join us. They can call in for ministry at 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I'm hoping that some of you that are on the line will also have some comments to share and give me a little breather here. I don't have to talk 2 hours straight. Somebody called in and actually asked, do I ever get tired of hearing myself? I said, definitely. Definitely. I wish more of you would call in. However, I don't get tired of hearing God's voice, and that's the segment that we're about to go into here, the second half. Now, what I like to do, you know, in the first 30 minutes here is to take callers that have not received prophetic ministry before, or at least in the last 6 months. So if you have already pushed number one to receive prophetic ministry and you have received prophetic ministry in the last 6 months, then just push it again. That'll take you out of the queue. There you go. And then if you're new and you have not received prophetic ministry in the last 6 months, then I hope you've already pushed number one, or you will. Okay? And now I'm just going to ask to us, it may not be related to the spirit of rejection at all, but to speak to us, because we all want to hear his voice and we all benefit from hearing his voice, whether he's speaking to us or others. Amen? Amen. So what I do is I call out the area code, welcome you to the program, letting you know that you're live on the air, and ask for your name. You can give your first name and your city or state, just so we'll kind of know who you are. We'll be glad to meet you. Amen. So area code 937, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hello.
Where are you from?
My name is Tina, and I live in Washington, D.C.
Tina. All right. Yes. Have you ever been to this program before?
Yes, I have last year.
Okay. Okay. Did you have a comment or question about the teaching?
Well, it definitely touched home with rejection for me. That's been kind of big, especially it seems like it's more so in the career job area a lot.
In the what?
Job, career area,
yes.
A lot.
Sure.
As I was listening to you, it had came to me, you know, it came to me that's what area it has been really dominant in my life. And it's kind of dominant as of right now, because I'm kind of going through that right now, as far as where I'm at now, the city that I'm in, and trying to get on my feet in that area. It's been a lot of questions that I have about that in the spirit. It feels like I was telling God the other day, like, maybe I'm in unfamiliar territory, like the city I'm in, or is, you know, I feel like something is blocking me. It's just, I don't know.
Okay, well, let me just do some prophetic prayer, and we'll ask God to reveal some keys that you can agree with him on and make some progress, okay? What I do is I let people say a little bit like I did you, and then I encourage them to let me go ahead and pray for them, because I want to be free to hear what God's saying, you know, not just go off natural knowledge. So, Father, we thank you for Tina and her courage to call in and be the first caller. Thank you, Lord. And I think that she wants to hear your voice, and that you're opening her eyes to see and to discern, and you're opening her ears to hear your voice better. And Tina, I just heard the Lord saying, even when you first started describing who you are, that the enemy has been sowing these little tiny seeds and some bigger ones, but all along throughout your life. This is not something brand new. And these little seeds have been germinating underground and multiplying. And there's plants and grass that has a lot of underground root systems, and it's very hard to get rid of. You can mow it and cut it, but it's got all these underground roots, much like some tubers have. They've got all these little tubules or whatever they're called underground. Unless you get them all, it's coming back up. So the Lord says, I can do this in a supernatural work. If you will agree with me to renounce some of the root lies like were shared tonight, if you'll just listen again, write them down, agree with me and renounce the lies that the enemy has said over you and to you and about you, and agree with my truth that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that I have equipped you with what you need. I am everything you need inside you. And on, if you will agree with me as you hear my voice and write these things down, these truths, then the Lord says, I will come along supernaturally and get rid of all the roots you don't know about. It's going to be okay. It's kind of like a domino effect, that if you will renounce the lies that I make you aware of, there'll be this domino effect, and there's this whole chain of lies that will fall to the ground because of it. And if you'll receive my truths, there'll be this whole chain of truths that are easier for you to accept. And scriptures that you know with your head will be more acceptable in your heart, because I'll do a supernatural work. I'll expand your heart. I'll open your eyes. I'll open your ears, because I'm not trying to keep this truth from you. I want you to enjoy my acceptance. And I want you to know who you are in Christ, and to know that you're already empowered, and that your only problem is that you don't know it sometimes, and sometimes you find it hard to believe. But the Lord says, I'm fixing, I'm the fixer. And as you just become more aware that it's going to be a process, but as you listen to this broadcast again, as you listen, you're going to hear me still speaking to you through different messages, whether it's in church or radio or through other people. You're going to hear me speaking, and you'll say, oh, God's not condemning me. He's showing me another key to this. And you'll find that this weak area will actually become a strength, and the enemy will be sorry he ever messed with you. The spirit of rejection will be sorry he ever messed with you and sowed those seeds, because he's going to have to pay back many times for the torment and the confusion and the lies that he has sowed into your life. Amen?
Amen.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. Because I was trying to understand the place that I am in at this time. I was really trying to understand it. So I get it.
Well, you know, unless we're in rebellion and we've gone somewhere we're not supposed to be, I mean, if you're where God wants you to be, then the Holy Spirit, our tutor, uses the circumstances around us to make things work out for our good, to conform us to his image. And a lot of times we don't read the second part, you know, Romans 8:29, that says to conform us to his image. But he's answering your prayers. He's letting some things that look like adversity I call it adversity. You'll use things that look like adversity to actually grow your faith muscles and grow you up in the Lord and to help you not to be double-minded, but to receive God's truth and to know you are accepted already.
Okay.
Okay. No matter what people say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I've been through a lot of it myself.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have a good night. And I hope you take note of that your prophetic word started roughly around 10 o'clock and that you'll use that play and pause button after this comes into the archives about 30 minutes after the program's over tomorrow sometime. I hope that you'll write out every word of it because you'll find that I don't have the intellect to design a perfect word for you. But when God gives you a prophetic word, every word of it's important. And as you pray over it, you'll find that there's a lot of keys to freedom in it. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night. Okay. Now, anybody else that's a first-time receiver of prophetic prayer and ministry on this program, you can push number one now. And we'll take you first. We have a lot of people that follow us that aren't first-timers. And if one of you newbies doesn't push the number one, then I'll be opening it up for them to call in, too. They always have a lot of good comments and help me out a lot. So I appreciate that big time. Okay, anybody else that's new, first time to receive prophetic ministry, push number one now. That's all you have to do if you've already called in. To 917-388-4683. Okay, I'm going to give them just another second while I remind you of how to get the Tearing Down Strongholds course. Tonight was just one part of one stronghold, but I go into each one thoroughly like that so you can discern it clearly from now on. And all you do is go to the resources area of crosswalklife.com, our main Mother website, our original one. Click resources, and you'll find that you can order Tearing Down Strongholds as a real college course, or I've also taught it in churches, and you can order it as a download, lots of downloads, or as a CD, but either one comes with a 70-page scripture praying manual so that you can pray the scriptures and get free too. Okay, last chance for people that aren't, I mean, that have never received prophetic ministry on this program before. All right. Well, all right. I'll let you that have received prophetic ministry on this program before push number one, and we'll see who wants to go first. All right. Area code, let's see. Area code 404, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Laditra.
Oh, Laditra, how are you?
I'm doing good, Miss Carlotta. Enjoying them teaching tonight, of course.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I lived it, so
yes,
I really
did
it. I need it.
Yes.
I went through these fiction cycles a lot. Did you have a comment or anything that you'd like to share?
Oh, well, yeah, I do have a comment. I can see, even tonight, before I even listened to the message tonight, the Lord was kind of showing me a little bit about rejection tonight that I'm still kind of dealing with, especially having moved here to Atlanta, just wanting to really just, I've been praying. I'm like, Lord, okay, what is my next step as far as with the job situation? Because I still haven't found a job yet, and I've been looking. And so I'm kind of pouring a little bit between, you know, with the job situation. You know, I'm used to working, and I'm kind of seeing that as rejection a little bit. Some things that have happened before, okay, you know. I'm like, okay, because I'm used to working and moving around and just making money and being able to be supportive of my family. And so it's kind of been dealing with me a little bit about for the past 8 months.
8 months.
And just making sure, I wanted to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be, which, you know, I've heard clearly. I believe that I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's just that this is a different level for me, not having a job and being useful. So I saw rejection in the middle of this for me.
Oh, yeah, the enemy wants you to reject yourself, say something's wrong with you.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been dealing with that of course, since I've been here, but then the past couple of weeks mentally trying to understand and try to grab a hold of this and everything that I know. So this was definitely an on-time teaching for sure. And I was reminded of it again before I even listened to the teaching tonight.
Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have drawn the people to be live listeners, to be in the chat room, and that you are also drawing the people that will listen in the archives that you want to set free, that are ready to be set free. And I just thank you, Lord, that you will help them to discern not only the spirit of rejection, how it's operating, but also the spirits that work with it. I mentioned only a few of them tonight, but there'll be more next week. Oh, Lord, I just thank you, LaDetra. I thank you that she has heard your voice. She's come across country to Atlanta and kind of like Abraham to a country, city she knew not of. And I thank you, Lord, that you do all things well, that you do have a wonderful plan for her life, that you do have connections for her, and that everything will work out for her good as she's conformed to your image. And LaDetra, I just hear the Lord saying that I have it's like I see all these half circle of flagpoles. The Lord says, I have many assignments for you, and it's to many different cultures and many different places in the spirit and some in the natural, and not to worry. That I know your faith is being tested.
Mm.
Of course, the enemy wants to whisper in your ear night and day, why are you here? What are you supposed to be doing? What's wrong with you? But the Lord says, I want to show you this picture tonight of all these different flagpoles to remind you that I have a wonderful plan and purpose for you, and there's going to be many applications for the skills that I've placed in your life, for the talents, for the gifting that I have been coordinating it all. And these are tests of faith, and I know that, but I'm bringing you to a place that whichever flagpole I put you under or whatever assignment I give you, that you'll be able to trust me equally as well, whether it looks large or small, near or far, lucrative or not, well-connected or not, you know, suited for you or not, that you will be able to trust me. And the enemy wants opportunity to whisper all manner of lies to you. But you will be one that will choose to declare the truth no matter what, no matter how the circumstances look, no matter what your location, no matter what the situation, or no matter what people say. And yes, I know that some people have been quite opinionated, and they've made their preferences clear. And, of course, you're concerned for your family. But the Lord says, they will trust me like you trust me. So that's the important thing, to demonstrate that trust and to know that I have your best interest at heart and to accept your acceptance as we go, knowing that if you need to be convicted of anything, I'm the Holy Spirit and I'll be faithful to do it. But the Lord says it's faith that pleases me, faith that pleases me. And so it's not to earn my acceptance. It's not to earn even a revelation of the next step or a blueprint, but just you've already succeeded when you're believing me in faith, when you believe who I am. It'll be a key to being able to believe who you are. when you believe I always do what I promise to do, it'll be a key for you knowing that I will also always do that through you. I'll never leave you hanging out there. I'll never command you to do things and not be willing to do it through you. So just a little bit longer. It's just a season of preparation so that you will be able to believe me no matter which flagpole it is that's flying that day, no matter where I send you, you'll be able to believe me. And you'll know that it's not about you and your acceptance, because you'll know that I am the lover of your soul, LaDitra, and I love you perfectly, okay?
Oh, no, I'm saying amen. Oh, my goodness, I'm just saying amen. I needed to hear that.
I did, too. People ask me, you know, can I receive some of that prophetic word? And I say, yep, a lot of it's general. You know, if I had told you you're going to go to work for General Mills on State Street or something, and I'm just making that up, I think. They couldn't take that part, but most of what God says to us, I would say more than half anyway of the things that he prophesies to us, he's no respecter of persons, and it's enough to go around. Other people can believe it too.
That's right. That's right. Most definitely.
So keep listening, because you may find that there's part of these other prophetic words that help you too.
That's right. Amen. I will be listening. Yes.
Well, I hope to meet a lot of you, especially those of you that went within reach. And Atlanta's within reach of where we are in South Georgia, so I hope to meet you at some point. That'd be a great Christmas present for me you might want to consider.
Yeah. Got you.
Okay. Good
All
night.
All right. Thank you, Carla. All right. Have a good night. I'll continue listening. Thank you.
All right. Be blessed. Thank you, Lord. You know, when I immediately get these pictures, sometimes I'm just like you. I don't know what the picture means. I see the circle of flagpoles and wonder what in the world. But I ask him, you know, what is that? And then share the words. And so that's kind of how that works. God speaks to us through spoken words and pictures, and sometimes more of an open vision, like a little video, or sometimes he brings and highlights his logos word and highlights some of that. And sometimes there's a little ministry in there to break the power of something or to impart something, but it's all good. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you always meet our needs. You never withhold any good thing from us. Hallelujah. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Kanisha.
Hi, Kanisha. How you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
All right. Do you have a comment or question?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Still believing for a couple more healings, but God has really been blessing us this year. It's not all about dollars and cents, but, you know, with excellent friends and connections, and just we're just rich in connections this year. So I just thank him for that, because you know you can't take money to heaven with you, but you can take all the people.
Right.
You can take people to heaven with you, maybe not the same day, but you know you get there. Well, what did you want to share about the teaching?
Well, I thank God for the teaching tonight. I've dealt with a lot of the spirit of rejection. At one point in my life, a couple of years back, it was so bad, so I had to, the Lord gave me a little tip where whenever I felt rejected, I used to go into a secret place and immediately start to say, I thank you, Father, that you love me, that you've accepted me, that you've chosen me. And I had to keep doing it until it started to sink in. And it was years. It's still being worked out of me. But I'm calling tonight because I have an 8-year-old daughter. And no matter how much love we show her, she deals with it. I don't know if it's something that's passed down to her. I was teaching her about identifying the enemy's voice one day, and she broke down and she started to cry. And she was telling me that she really felt it. She was saying, Mama, that's not the enemy's voice. I really feel like this. And so I don't really know how to help her in that. The things I try, is it seems like it's not working. So if I could get prayer about that. Her name is Lovely.
Lovely.
If I can get prayer tonight for Lovely, and even if the Lord can give me some, just help me to know how to help her. You know, I want to know what do I need to do to help her, because it seems like what worked for me is not really working for her. But she really feels like this, and she's 8 years old, and it's bad because she at school she's like, I want friends, I want people to like me. And she goes over and beyond. And so it's just, it's really, really, no matter how much love she gives, she still feels unloved, and she actually says it. I don't feel like people love me. So,
okay, the strong before this one in the Tearing Down Personal Strongholds course, it's the stronghold before this that says the most about feeling unloved. They're not exactly the same. And the enemy works overtime to give people reason to feel unloved. And so I don't know exactly what your conversation was, because we've never talked except on the radio. But see, when she says, it's not just the enemy lying, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the first, when I started sharing about the roots of rejection, it was real things. Now, I'm not saying this is true in your case, but a lot of what people are feeling is very real, you know, from the moment of conception on, or at the time of their birth, or when they were little, or when they started school, or went to church, or got a job, or dated, or whatever. There was real rejection, being unwanted, not chosen, really being minimized or whatever in their life. And I'm not saying that that part is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying what the devil does is he comes along with his spirits of rejection and lying spirits and accusing spirits and all, and unloving spirits, and he adds to it. He says, well, the reason you weren't chosen to be on a team is because you're no good and everybody knows it. You know, you'll never amount to anything. Besides the fact they don't like you, because you're not good enough, you know, and it just goes on and on. And little children, like we all were, don't have much of a defense against all that. They don't know how much of it's true and how much of it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll set somebody up. This is how strongholds begin. He'll set somebody up to say something or to do something or just to whack you one on the playground or whatever, to try to prove to you that you're not liked, accepted, or loved.
That happens to her all the time. Everywhere she goes, someone is telling her they don't like her, she's ugly. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, now here's how it works, and everybody can write this down because it works the same pretty much for all of us. This is how the devil gets it started. It's a vicious cycle. He has somebody hurt or wounded. Then we are tempted to have a bitter expectation that will happen again. Then he can use that bitter expectation that will happen again. And when it happens again, he turns it into what we call a bitter root judgment, that people are mean, they're unfair, they don't like me, nobody understands me, nobody loves me. You know, whatever, they're all proud or prejudiced or mean, or, you know, whatever it is. And the more we believe for it, the more it happens. So now he's got us helping him. Even when we're real little, even when you're real little, you can believe, I can't go around children because they'll hit me or talk about me or tattle lies about me. And if he can get it to happen more than once, then we become convinced. Mm-hmm. This is how people are. You can't trust people. They'll reject you for no reason. Just because you aren't the same, whatever they are. And so the lie part is where he adds to it. He creates a hurt or a wound by setting somebody up to hurt. And then he gets you to expect it. And then when it happens again, somebody or else or that same person hurts you again, then you expect it more.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you judge people with condemnation, the more you are judgmental, saying people don't treat me right and they won't, then the more it happens. And round this rejection thing goes. And until you know it's a spirit that, yeah, when you were hit the first time and the second time or whatever, that is real, where nobody's doubting you that it was real, but he's adding these lies to it about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean to be, I almost sound contradictory there, because if you expect it to happen again, you are contributing to the problem. But we can repent of that and start expecting that no matter how circumstances have been in the past, that I can believe God now because I've repented of believing for the worst, I can start believing for the best. Believing, to make a quick example, that God would surround me with people that not only believed in me but would feel honored to invest in me and my ministry. And that was the farthest thing from anything I could believe when I first started saying it. But I kept saying it, and it started coming true.
Yes.
But as long as I believe that everybody will misunderstand me and reject me and never forgive me and all that, as long as I believe for that, that's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know how to sort that out, because you know her situation, and God will give you wisdom of how to sort it out, okay?
Okay.
Again, I suggest that you listen to these things again or by the course, because it sounds like she's got the unloving spirits talking to her, saying you're just not even loved.
Okay.
If God loved you, he wouldn't let all this happen. So, Father, I just thank you for Lovely. Thank you for her name. I thank you that you named her, that she's not only lovely, but lovable.
Yes, Lord.
And destined to be loving, to be your love to others. And I thank you that you are in control, and you would never let any of us at any age be tempted with more than we can handle. You always give us a way of escape. And I thank you for the wisdom that you're placing in her mother. And I thank you, Lord. I'm seeing a teddy bear right now. And the Lord says, I speak her language at her age, you know, age appropriate. And I'm going to be working supernaturally to change her image of God, because there have been some ways that men and other people have behaved that have affected her image of me. Going to be bringing healing into her life, and her perception of me will be more like a loving teddy bear that's always comfortable, always there for you, always understanding, always loving, never, never mean, never with bad intentions, never taking advantage. And the Lord says, there's plenty of time for her to learn about me and my spiritual power and authority and all, but I'm going to be working in her life to replace the lies about who I am.
Yes.
She will understand more about my perfect love, and she'll understand that the enemy wanted her to see God like she has seen some men, and she'll understand that I am not a man that I should lie, or that I should hurt her or abandon her or break promises or anything else. And she will understand my character little by little, my goodness, and that is going to help her to understand my perfect love for her and that I'm not like human men, human fathers, human uncles, or teachers, or preachers, or anything else, that I am perfect love and unconditional acceptance. And I will do a supernatural work in her life. Okay? And where your faith is, again, hers will be. And it won't be that long, a little while, but it won't be that long before she'll have a little better understanding that people hurt other people out of their own hurt and that it doesn't define who she is.
Yes.
And she will not become a doormat, but she will learn how to pray for people that are hurtful. And she will see results, and you will be amazed at the results she sees from her prayers, okay?
Thank you, Lord.
It's going to be okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's so awesome, because I was in my prayer time the other day, and I wrote down in my notebooks, begin to share the love of God with lovely, only teach her the love of God. And I wrote it down so that I could begin to study every scripture about love with her. And so when you were talking, it was just confirming that I need to go ahead and do that and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Thank you so much.
Well, and I thought I would just pass this on. A reliable person in our chat room that used to be with us all the time and is back now had put that he's getting that it might be a spirit of jealousy from others because of her name.
Yeah.
So that's all. God will work with that too.
Yes. It's true because even... we were in the store one day, and an older lady asked me her name, and I told the lady, and the lady got an attitude and just started to be real nasty because of it was weird. Yeah, that's not just
kinda
a
like
little
if
kid,
named,
but...
Yeah, if you're named pretty, then they're going to have a comment to make about them.
Right.
Well, there's a lot to love besides word appearance, so she'll learn to have a testimony about that, too.
And I have actually have four daughters, so Lovely is the oldest. I have Precious, I have Joy, and I have Destiny as well.
Oh me, I'm getting chills. Okay, well, let me run. We've got some more callers.
Thank you so much.
I hope you'll write me or put a testimony on Facebook or something and let us all know what happens, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Enjoy your night.
We thank you, Lord, that you are our joy and we are precious in your sight and we are your love to others. And you fulfill our destiny through us. Amen. Just thank you, Lord. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Yes, ma'am.
And your name and
Hello?
Location?
Oh,
yes?
Yes, ma'am. This is Max. I'm from Texas. I actually called to request prayer.
Okay.
I don't know, just I've been working for, seems like years, I've been working, trying to help myself and my daughter and get everything established for us. But it's come to the point where, even others, friends, family, something always happens. People have actually even called it kind of a curse or something like that. Because, it was a truck. It's always something. It's a number of things somehow. And I was just requesting prayer for help with my situation, because it's getting to that point again to where I'm finally getting okay again, and, you know, I'm just scared that here I go sliding down again.
Uh-oh. Well, spirit of fear, let's get rid of that first of all. Let me just give you a couple exhortations, and you can discern them, what's of God and what's the right time for you, Max. When people talk to me about cycles of curses like this, my heart really goes out to them, and I believe that curses are real, and whether it's a generational curse coming down the line or whether it's coming from, you know, witches or Satanists or even people just saying things over you, or you saying it repeatedly over yourself, whatever it is, part of my calling is to help you discern what those curses are and to break the power of them. So if you would just write down the office number, it's
229-449-4742.
Right. You can go to the website at crosswalklife.com. You can click on RPM. You can look at the 10-page application. But what I do is I take a history of a person's whole life pretty much and discern what the curses are, how they've worked, you know, and what legal permission the devil had to keep on with it. And then we know how to break it all, to replace it with God's truth and blessing, because God really wants you to have generational blessings, not curses.
Yes, ma'am.
And you can consider if I'm the one to help you with that. And but I just, let's just listen to the Lord right now for it. The Lord says that I have been and want to be like a pump. I just see an old-fashioned hand pump, but like a pump in you that once it's primed, it always delivers pure water, refreshing water of life. And the Bible says, even on our website, it says in John, you know, that Christ in us will be like a spring of living water welling up from inside us. It will never be thirsty and it can never be quenched. And the Lord says, my plan for you is for the blessings to go down for generations. And the enemy's plan is to keep these curses in place. And there is such a thing as the courtroom of heaven, and there is such a thing as things that have been said by your ancestors or by you, or agreements with the enemy out of ignorance or whatever reason, that give him permission to bring havoc in your life or to torment you or to harass you in certain ways. And the Lord says, I am happy to reveal to you. And, but I've said in James 5, you know, that if you'll confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. And the Lord says the power of agreement, you know, is far more effective in prayer than you praying by yourself. And also in Luke 6, to dig deep to your foundation and find out where the cracks are. Don't just let the building fall over. And so the Lord says, I will bring you the connections that you need to have complete, decisive victory. It's never my intention for you to be sideswiped or blindsided, that I will give you that keen discernment. And the Lord says, I am good for it, to make your weak places strong. And you've cried out to me, and I've heard you, you know, take these things away from me and my family. And the Lord says, I will. And as you make it a priority, I will show you the connections that I have for you. Then I'll make the weak places strong as you surrender them to me. And then you will have extra power and anointing in these very areas. Extra discernment, extra insight, extra ability to minister. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You'll just go to the website at Crosswalk on RPM, a little link below our picture. Then you'll see how what we offer, and you can see if we're the ones to help you with this, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You can do it all by phone, Skype, or something. You don't have to come to Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Be blessed. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
I hope that everyone that receives a prophetic word tonight will note the time and go back once it's in the archives within 30 minutes after the program or tomorrow sometime, begin to write it out word for word, because there'll be insights even in the word itself that will help you to know how to overcome, because God wants you to always walk in victory and triumph. Amen? Okay, area code 817, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, what's your name and location, please?
Demetra, Texas.
Demetra, you're from Texas, too?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any special requests?
Well, I mean, I was just listening to the program, and it was just confirmation over a history of, you know, rejection that I've dealt with. I've known and then didn't really know how deep it really went. But the Lord has just confirmed to me this year, even in a dream that I had, it was a snake, but then the snake turned out to be really long. And the Lord was sharing me that it was the spirit of rejection and that a lot of people were going to come together and break that up off of me. And right now I just want to stop the cycle of rejection so that I can continue to go forth. So if I can get prayer regarding that and break it off of me, because I know that that's what it is.
Right off the bat, Demetra, I heard the Lord saying, sowing and reaping, that there's a lot of situations where somebody has sowed something into the family line, and then it affects more than just them. Other people have to reap it. And there's cause and effect that a lot of people don't understand. They think you can have sinful reactions or sinful behaviors and it doesn't hurt anybody but me or something like that, but it's not the case. And so the Lord says, I'm a spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding inside of you. And as you turn to me and say, okay, Lord, you're the spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding, show me. Show me more.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says, I'll give you insights into how people get these strongholds in their life and how you have, and how the enemy got legal access in the first place, and how do you get him out, and how do you keep him out, how do you maintain your freedom. The Lord says, it's my desire for you to have all those insights, and for you to study who you are in Christ, but also stay in balance. Some people only study word of faith and who they are in Christ, and they don't know how to do Ephesians 6:12 that says, know how to come against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is calling you a place of balance where you'll know that I'm Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, and I came for the purpose to give people life and life abundantly, but I also said I came for the purpose to destroy the works of the devil. And the Lord says, I'm willing to be that exceptional power within you, but you will have to seek it and pursue it and say, Lord, show me how to free people up to have abundant life, and show me how to help them to pray or command or whatever, cast out, so they can destroy the works of the devil in their life. And the Lord says, even though these circumstances have been uncomfortable, it will. I'm going to work it all out for good to motivate you to learn how to use the power that I am within you.
Thank you, Father.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
And you too. I'm going to rush on here because I've got several more callers, and we'll just see what the Lord can do in a short period of time. Area code 989, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Lillian.
Hi, Lillian. What's up?
Hi. Actually, I'm calling about my son tonight. He's 11 years old, and today he came home telling me that there's this one person at school calling him gay and using the F word, and it's hurting him. I don't know where this is coming from. And then it happened again like a year ago by a totally different kid, and I'm raising him by myself. So I'm thinking this has something to do with the enemy trying to, you know, sow seeds like that in him. I don't know.
I don't know if this applies or not, but one thing that just came to my mind, so I'm not trying to call the other kid names either. Please hear me on this. But sometimes, and apparently this point needs to be brought out tonight, even if it does not apply in your case, sometimes other people will call us what's bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether somebody called him gay or somebody tempted him or abused him or whether he is, I don't know. But sometimes, say somebody's got a lying spirit and they'll say you've got one. And sometimes it's a hint that this is what they're dealing with. That's why they're projecting it on me. And so you can just take that, and if it ever applies, you'll know that a lot of times demons tip their hand, you might say, or expose themselves by falsely accusing the righteous of exactly what they do. A lying spirit will accuse you of lying when you're not lying. And so we don't want to teach him to say, well, you wouldn't be saying that except that's what you are, you know. That's not the answer. But he can be taught that demons accuse falsely.
Okay.
And they want you to worry about their accusation and pay a lot of attention to it. They love attention.
Okay.
But the better answer would probably be to do what you're probably doing is teach him and have him repeat after you or whatever, teach him who he is in Christ. So that when somebody falsely accuses him, what goes through his head is the truth. And if he's old enough or able to have memory verses or parts of verses, you can give him rewards or however you do it, you know, for memorizing verses and a reference. And that scripture will not come back void. And when the enemy attacks him, that scripture will pop up in his mind.
Okay. We just started doing that tonight, actually.
Ha, 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 confirmation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I just thank you for Lillian and her son. I thank you, Lord, that you are directing her, and all I'm good for is confirmation. That's just fine. I thank you, Lord, that that you are building a strong foundation in this young man's life, and that he, like all of us, is having to learn that he can either focus on the truth or focus on the lies, and he can receive what God says or receive what people say, that his worth can be based on God's opinion or people's opinions. And I say that he will be one that learns early on that he is who God says he is. And although it kind of hurts and stings sometimes that what people say does not change who he is, and that he is not defined by people's opinions or taunts or lies or teasing or anything else, that he is exactly who God says he is. And because of these difficulties, the Lord says he will press in harder and sooner than he would have into my truth. He won't just take it casually or daydream. You know, he'll be pressing into it because it, he sees the relevance of my word and what I say. And he'll be healed, actually, in some ways. Sounds crazy to say be healed by hurts, but in some ways he will be healed because even lies from the past, the power of them will be broken too.
Mm-hmm.
And where he didn't have a good image of a father, the power of that can be broken as he presses into what
I, his heavenly Father, say. And he will have greater understanding of who I am. And out of that, eventually minister to many who don't understand who I am.
Wow.
Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Woo. That was great.
I love anticipating the testimony of these kids, you know?
Yeah.
But, right, so what matters is what he's thinking and believing himself, not what he says to that kid. He may not even answer the kid. You know, Jesus didn't even answer his accusers every time.
Right.
It matters, tell him it matters what he believes. That's what matters, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, let's see if we can hear God for a couple more. Hallelujah, I'm loving y'all's comments and how it's being passed on to these precious children. Area code 240, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Fine. This is Tina McLeod, and I was calling for personal prophecy in regards to ministry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tina, I just see you digging. But this is not an introspect, analyze it kind of digging, that you're willing to plow. You're willing to get the rocks out. You're willing to get the weeds out. You're willing to do what it takes as you dig to prepare a garden for a good harvest and good fruit. And, the Lord, as you continue that, yes, the reaper will overtake the sower, I think is how the verse goes, that you will see fruit after fruit after fruit being born in your life. But just remember that it's when you seek me with all your heart, when you make those sacrifices of praise or worship or spending time in my word. And the Lord says, as you sow it, you'll reap it. As you spend more time with me, you'll reap more. And it's not that you're earning it. It's not a treadmill of performance. It's just relationship. Just relationship. And that is the main ministry that I'm calling you to right now and always, really. It's minister to me, first of all. And out of practicing my presence, then you'll see supernatural signs and wonders follow, but it won't be because you're trying to get a position or a ministry or build something or make things happen. It'll be out of my very presence in you. Okay? That's the secret. That's the secret. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Be blessed.
Okay. Good night. All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Let's see if we can. I might be able to do one more real quick one here. Area code 410. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie. Do you have
Hi, how are you?
Comment or request tonight?
Oh, I tell you, tonight's program on rejection cycles are so good. Oh, boy, I am in the midst of dealing with some rejection cycles in my own family as well as I have a young woman from my church that I'm working with as well that is going through rejection cycles, and I was just talking to her tonight and praying with her tonight and just letting her know that these cycles did not start with her, that they are generational. They start with grandma and grandpa, you know, all the way back, and basically she just recently actually has her father basically is wanting her and her son to be thrown out by Thanksgiving Day.
On the air.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You said other people on the air, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what's your request tonight?
my prayer is for healing for her, and I'm also dealing with a rejection cycle in my family, healing and strategy as far as how to speak into it, not being afraid to say what needs to be said, but speaking into it, breaking those rejection cycles, and God basically setting.
Thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. First of all, though, how you are working through the spiritual generations that you work with in Valerie's life and her family's real life, but also in her spiritual children. So there's the spiritual blessing go down there, too, passing on of her anointing and her insights and her mantle, and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that that you are intent on breaking up these generational curses, and where one generation is oppressing another or misunderstanding or rejecting or whatever's happening, and that you're bigger than all that. And I thank you for your truth. And the Lord says, I am entrusting you with the secrets of men's heart, and I'm trusting you to hold them precious and to guard them and to keep them confidential. But also, you know, to ask me, are there others that should we pray about this as a team or just she and I, or and I'll give you the strategy. And the Lord says, many times I'll give you the strategy, and this is not new to you, but I'll give you the strategy of what verses, and she'll learn that you don't do it for her, that you lead the way, that you have the spiritual power and authority that I have and that I am in you, but she'll learn how to swing the sword of the Spirit herself, how to renounce what's come out of her own mouth, and how to receive my truth herself. So be careful to let her gather the verses and to pray them and to understand what swinging the sword of the Spirit is. Mm-hmm. And what Ephesians 6 is about, it's not this ethereal thing when we put on the armor of God. We really do believe God's truth. We really do have a shield that's made up of believing. Mm-hmm. We really do swing the sword of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lord. Whew. Boy, I think we need to just continue this next week. I'm sorry I couldn't get to everybody. But I want you to know that God cares, that we will go into more about the fruit of the spirit of rejection. I try to make most of the programs more positive, but we just come to your mercy seat tonight, and we say, Lord, all things is in you.
Heal my wounded.